You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Monday, February 16th, episode 3885, brought to you by Worm Flooring. Good morning, horse people.
Well, that's right. Jamie is back. You're actually at home, right?
I am at home. And amazingly, it's like 70 degrees here, and it has been for days. It's just, it's bananas. However, the problem is everything is blooming right now, just for no reason. I mean, it's a total, everybody's getting tricked because I'm sure it's not going to last, but everything is blooming right now, which then means I can't breathe. Okay. So excuse me for sounding really stuffed up, but again, my allergies are like, it's spring.
And my body's like, no, it's not. I got the flu over the weekend, so we're quite the pair.
We're a hot mess, Glenn.
I got the fever and all the usual flu stuff. So I thought, you know, I went on those trips. I met all those thousands of people in January. And I was fine. I probably went to the grocery store and got this.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to try and get through the show today. We have a full show planned for you, but some of it is recorded, and I'll explain that. But Jamie's back. I need an update on your pony you bought. Ashley is also going to join us today to talk about her first ever fox hunt that she did over the weekend. We're also going to hear about some new products from the trade show from a company called Tail Cinch. I really like that lady. You know, we had Jamie's been to a few of these trade shows. There are certain booths you walk up to that you instantly like the people. And Uncle Jimmy was one of those, right? Greg from Cavallo Boots. There's just certain people. You meet them and you instantly like them. This was one of those people. I really liked
And her. Then there's the ones that you're like, don't go down that aisle.
We had some of those too. Yeah. Plus, and where are they now? Where is it now, I guess, is a segment that we're going to revisit an interview from 2019. A lot of our listeners are new since 2020, and they don't realize that we had a big thing happen on the show in 2019. This is kind of going down memory lane. Robbie Roberts, the guy who built the World Equestrian Center, requested to come on our show with a big announcement, and he actually announced the opening date of the World Equestrian Center on our show. It was a big deal, but then it also caused a controversy after his interview because he didn't have dates for the Hunter Jumper shows here, and Hitz was right down the road. Hitz was really big, is really big in Ocala, and he basically started a war with the USEF and Hitz, and now we're all these years later, and I think he pretty much won the war. But this was before the war. This was the beginning, the very beginning of the war. You're going to hear how the war started.
And it was. I feel like he even came on before to talk about the potential building of the World Equestrian Center.
I looked, and this was the first one I could find.
Okay.
You may be right, and I kind of remembered that too.
I am right because I was on that one, but I'm not on this one, so. But I do remember him talking about it. We're like, wait, what?
I'm going to dig deeper on that. All right. So we'll play this one today because I have it ready, but I will dig deeper. If I can find that, we'll play that one too, because this was actually for Jamie and I to have them contact us to make the announcement on the show was pretty special. I mean, it was a pretty
kind
big
of a big deal.
Yeah.
People know us.
And I'm sorry, people, but there'll be no post show today because neither one of us is up for it.
We can't breathe.
Hey, something did happen over the weekend. It was kind of cool here at the farm. So we live. This is how you know you live in an equestrian neighborhood. There was a neighborhood-wide yard sale. So we participated in that. We sold $1,000 worth of stuff, by the way.
Get out. Are you serious?
This is all stuff that we had put in the attic and forgotten about. And I was like, we haven't used it in a year. We have a rule. If you haven't used it in a year, it goes into yard sale. And we sold a lot of stuff. There were so many people. But guess who showed up? I was out staining the deck. Jennifer was running the yard sale, and I look out, and there's these huge 17-hand Percherons, a pair of them, pulling a wagon, coming down our driveway.
Yes, you live in an equestrian neighborhood.
They were doing the rounds, doing shopping. Their wives were along. The husbands were driving. There are landscapers out of Iowa who come down here, and they have a farm in the neighborhood. And he's not in competition or anything. He just has these Percherons. They're 20 and 21 years old. I'll put a picture in the show notes. You see the picture there.
Yes.
They were so good, Jamie. They stood there. The women were over shopping. They stood there. They didn't move. I ended up chatting with them for the whole time. They didn't move. And then it's a tight turn to turn around in the driveway. I don't know that I could have done it with my pony. And there was a car parked right behind him in the driveway. I was like, I'll get him to move the car. He said, oh, don't worry about that. He turned those Percherons on a dime. I mean, beep, 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 it was incredible. Beep. He turned them, just missed the car. I was impressed. These were some, you know how I like Percherons anyway. But
This is like, it's like they knew you lived there. That's so crazy.
We talked for about Percherons for half an hour. And these two were so sweet. And of course, they had names like Matt and Mike. You know, that's always their names. They were about 17.
This is Bill.
Years.
This is John.
They got them when they were five and have been driving them ever since. So,
oh, that's so
they
cool.
They use them, I think, for wagon rides and stuff at the landscaper place that in Iowa that they live at.
Wow.
So it was fun. It was, that's how you know you live in an equestrian neighborhood. All right, Daily Winnie time.
From the podcast to the barn, here's some hidden birthday wishes to keep you warm. Hope it lasts all year long. Happy birthday, friends.
We have one auditor birthday today, Lindsay Rupp. Our happy birthday to Lindsay. We hope you have a fantastic day. Also, we're in the height of Hunter Jumper show season here in Ocala at WEC, at the World Equestrian Center, which we'll hear about later today. But over the weekend, a 15-year-old won her first ever Grand Prix. 15 years old, won a $40,000 Grand Prix on Saturday. And the Grand Prix here.
I'm sure she gave all that money to her parents who had spent way more than that to get
she
in there.
She actually had a $40,000 Grand Prix. The winner ends up with $12,000. And I saw she won $12,000. But I mean, it's pretty cool to be in that big stadium, you know, with a lot of people show
amazing.
Up and watch this every weekend. It's very popular. I mean, they don't even charge. You can just go in and watch. It's kind of cool. But so congratulations, her. It's not every day you see a 15-year-old winning a Grand Prix. Beautiful horse, by the way. Some kind of French warm blood thing. That's all I know.
Some sort of fancy, expensive horse.
Yeah.
Well, I have so much to talk about, but I want to start with giving a Daily Winnie to our listener, Clark Barton. Clark is the one who started the problem that I have, which is buying racehorses. Buying my racehorses. And I guess they had a My Racehorse open house over the weekend, and he just kept sending me pictures of all of my babies because I have a lot of babies. So it was really fun to see him walking around.
He was down here, right? In Ocala.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Ocala. So if you didn't go, you missed out, Glenn. You could have seen some of my horses.
We tried to go.
It
was sold out in days. We tried to go. We couldn't get tickets.
Yeah. I think they do like a drawing forum for the My Racehorse owners. So
There's so many here.
pretty awesome. So yeah, I think I've added a couple more to my stable since.
I will say that Clark has still cost me more than he cost you. Because remember, I bought a kitchen from him. So I'm still ahead on spending more with Clark.
I know, but that doesn't count.
Yeah, I've only bought
one
horse.
Would you like to know which horses I have? I'm not going to go through the brood mares. Yeah, I'm such a bougie owner. Like I know I own so many racehorses. I'm not going to go through the brood mares, but Caldera, who is back in work, Glenn, and he had a breeze.
I want to see him back racing and winning money. Thank you very much.
Just be patient. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
We have owned this for 2 years.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. Doctorate Elevated Money Problem, who races, I think, next week. Woohoo! Native Brune and Puka 24. Oh, gosh, that's not good when you have to scroll down. Trust, but verify and warranted. So, yay!
Who would have thought you would own 6 racehorses in your lifetime?
I mean,
well, you've actually owned a lot of X racehorses.
I mean, I might as well get them while the getting's good. You know what I mean? Like,
make up for some all the money you spent on the X racehorses.
Exactly. So thanks, Clark. Thank you for sending me all the pictures. You're awesome. And also, Glenn, oh my God, oh my God. I know I haven't sent you pictures yet. I've been a little behind, but my covered round pen, I think it's done today.
Oh, wow.
They, as far as putting the round pen back in, there's still some work that has to be done on like I'm having a door that is going to be installed, but they're coming to measure for that on Friday. So he's going to set the round pen back up in there. Yay. So my covered round pen is going to be usable today. I'm so excited.
Sure, we have some more bad weather coming too. So you'll enjoy
not
that.
Here. It's 70 degrees forever now.
Yeah, I think that'll probably change.
Do you know what the local weatherman said here? And I just love it. He goes, you know what? Winter is undefeated. I was like, yup.
You got Mud Central or?
No, it's like beautiful. We had got some rain over the weekend, like half an inch. And so it's just like, it's just beautiful. I don't understand we'll where I live, it. But you know what? Knock on wood. I'm a knock on wood.
I can't believe it's done. Yeah, that's terrific.
Yeah.
So and you have like ride in it this week.
I've been using the magnet, like, you know, going over over and over with the magnet. And I haven't found any screws or anything. Like they screwed it all together. And so there's no nails even in the whole thing. So it's pretty cool. I mean, it's like welded. It's legit. This thing is awesome.
Yay. Well, congratulations. I know you waited. Thank you. You waited how many years for that? 8, 9?
I'm only 28, so
no, I meant since you lived there, you waited that long.
I've waited my entire life for something like this. This is awesome. I'm so excited.
Well, the Gaucho Derby begins in 2 days, and that's the one down there in Patagonia. This one's about half the distance of the Mongol Derby, but it's straight up and straight down many times. This is serious mountains. If anybody's ever watched anything about Patagonia, you know that this is serious countryside. And they run this one a little bit differently. It's approximately 500 kilometers, 310 miles over 10 days.
This is crazy. It's just bananas.
Just... And you sleep outside most of the time. With the Mongol Derby, they have yurts and all that stuff. This one, you're pretty much eating what you carry with you. And this one's different. They will change horses a number of times at stops. And there are 42 riders representing 12 countries there. There were 5 or 6 Americans, I think. It's just set to begin on February the 18th. You can follow it at equestrianists.com/live. You can follow the dots. There's dot watching at this one, too. They do switch horses roughly every 40 kilometers, 25 miles, something like that. And they're riding the Criollo horses?
Criollo.
Thank you. So they're known because they're mountain horses, really. So they're known for, you know, endurance and being really sure of foot.
That is actually when I DNA tested Zeus, that it was mostly what he was Criollo. Like, so those South American horses have come up, you know, eternity ago, came up and from the South into the US. So there is a big Criollo, like, I guess, bloodlines in all the wild Mustangs. And so, you know, that if Mustangs came from them, they are tough horses.
They would have to be to live where they live. The other thing I thought was interesting about this is there is a weight limit for the rider in full clothes and full riding outfit. You can't be over 187 pounds. I guess it's because of the size of the horses. And you're only allowed 10 kilograms in your saddlebags. 10 kilograms is not a lot.
How many pounds is that?
You want to look that up a while? I think it's, 6 pounds?
Something. Hey, Siri.
There you go.
How many pounds is 10 kilograms? Let's see what Siri says. Up 22 pounds.
Oh, 22 pounds. Okay, good. I was going backwards. So,
yeah.
But that's still not a lot, considering you have to carry your food and your snacks and your sleeping bag and, you know, all that stuff.
I don't go through a airport with less than that in my backpack.
That's true.
And so, I'll be flying for 45 minutes.
And, you know, our buddy, what's his name that we talk to all the time from the Equestrianists? He helps run these events.
I'm friends with him on Facebook. Yes. I'm sorry.
What is Eric? Eric is there. I saw a video. He's running the orientation going on right now with the riders. I saw Eric. What a cool guy. We have to get him back. We need him on Where Are They Now? Because he's been on our show a number of times. So we will put that. If you want to follow the dots, you can do that at equestrianists.com/live. All right. Tell us about worm flooring, and we're going to talk with Ashley.
All right. Well, worm flooring does your trailer roof. It also did your trailer, my trailer floor and my barn aisle. But wormflooring.com, they do trailer roofs. Leaky roofs are a common problem in horse trailers and RVs, and they have a revolutionary silicone-based coating. It creates a barrier against heat and wet. First, it seals your roof to stop leaks before they start. Second, it reflects back nearly 90% of those nasty UV rays, keeping your trailer or barn up to 60 degrees cooler on a blistering day. So ditch the duct tape and the buckets. Invest in long-lasting peace of mind with Seal and Chill. It's applied by pros for a flawless finish, and it's only $7.50 per square foot. So that's a steal for cooler, drier, happier trailer or RV, which means happier horses and people. I wonder if they put it on, Glenn, if it'll help like against future hailstorms.
You need to ask him. You're friends with him. Call him up and ask him if it helps with hail.
That's a great idea. Head over to wormflooring.com to find a dealer near you. W-E-R-M flooring. That's for We Eliminate Rubber Mats. Well, you're probably going to recognize this next voice. Hi, Ashley.
Well, hi, friends. Good morning.
Good morning. We are calling you today because you did something exciting on horseback, and it's something you'd never done before, and you're probably... knowing my experience with it, you're going to be hooked for life. So tell us what you did over the weekend in Santa Fe.
Yes. So it's been a dream of mine since forever and 100 years to go fox hunting. And there is a local hunt club in Santa Fe. So that's like 45 minutes from where I live in Albuquerque. And they hosted their inaugural Galentine's Day hunt. So it was women only. And I was like, I got to do this. And so I reached out to the secretary of Casa Ladrone, which is the name of the hunt club. Her name was Phyllis. And I said, hey, I know you don't know me from Adam. I swear I can ride. If you have something with more woe than go, can you hook a sister up? And she was like, I got you. And so I rented from the livery a wonderful mount named Arion. And he is a Korab, an absolute gentleman. And I went out with the second field, and I'm dropping all these terms like I know what they mean. I had no idea up until this point. Like, they were like, okay, groups 3 and 4, walk and trot. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'll be asleep. And so they're like, okay, well, we usually don't let newbies go in the, you know, second and first, but you seem legit. And I'm like, I promise I'm legit. Horse Radio Network, okay?
Did you actually use that card, Ashley?
I really did. I even sent my email from my work email so that they would know I wasn't just like some weirdo off the street.
That's funny. You're the exact opposite of Jamie. She never tells anybody.
No, never. But also, like, just because you talk on the Horse Radio Network doesn't mean you can ride horses. Like,
look at me.
Doesn't translate. Yeah, look at Glenn.
I knew I had the skill to back it up. You know what I mean?
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. So,
you guys, I was hooked from the first thing, the stirrup cup. Oh, I'm sorry. We get served booze on horseback? Yes, please. Yes, please. And all of the servers were men wearing pink bow ties and breakaway pants. It was very Magic Mike. And
what?
So we didn't I know. It was amazing.
They didn't do that at the Myopia Hunt Club in Massachusetts. There was none of that going on.
Not that you know of, Glenn. You don't know what your wife is out there doing.
That's true.
It's always breakaway pants, okay? Always. Every fox hunt.
Yes, it's a very traditional uniform there. And so we didn't actually fox hunt. We went on a coyote hunt. And I thought they did a scent drag, but no, we actually saw two coyotes out on the hunt. And so it was super cool to watch the hounds work. There was 12 hounds, I forget. I did call them dogs at one point, and I was shunned.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, great. I'm dropping canine slurs. This is not good for anybody. and halfway through the hunt, we pull up to another stop, and there's like three pickup trucks with more men with appetizers and more booze.
I am so, hold on. So, okay. How did you learn about this? So you're just like, see, oh, there's going to be a random fox hunt in a random town that I don't live in. And you're like, hey, I'm going to call you. Can I call you and come ride by myself? You didn't know anybody?
100%. That's exactly what happened.
Oh my gosh. You're so brave. That's amazing.
Well, I figured at the very least I'd never see these people again, but now I hope I do because they were all so lovely.
They're so begging now, all the hunts for new members that, you know, they love when people like Ashley show up.
Well, and there was people trailered down from Colorado Springs. I mean, there was a big turnout. I would say probably about 50 horses total.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, most were in the third and fourth field. But I mean, there was one gal, and it was open interpretation of hunt wear. So like, it wasn't the traditional outfits that you see. I stuck traditional because I, you know, I love a theme, and I was like, oh, finally I get to wear all my cute clothes. Let me do that. But there was, you know, there was an award for the tackiest outfit. So there was a gal in like a hot pink fur coat and a boa around her helmet. There was another gal. She was riding a one-eyed Appaloosa in her skewering outfit. So she was wearing full fur. It was,
oh my gosh,
was just wild. It was just wild.
Oh my God. So did you jump on this hunt?
There was some ditch jumping, but not like fences. Okay. It was more just like cantering full speed, dodging cacti and gopher holes. And it was awesome.
Oh, wow. That sounds
so
amazing.
Much fun. It was, I mean, Glenn knows anytime I ride, I mean, my smile is ear to ear. Like my face breaks. And I was just smiling the entire time. And then after the hunt, guess what, guys? There was more booze and food.
And breakaway pants, hopefully.
And more breakaway pants. And then they made everybody little gift bags. It couldn't have been more fun, more perfect of a day. It was absolutely wild. I am absolutely hooked, Jamie. I was telling my mom, it's like group cross country almost.
Yeah.
But more booze. I mean,
that's crazy.
Everywhere.
That's amazing. So how long was the ride?
So Stirrup Cup was at 9 and we got back to the stables, I want to say around 1:30.
Wow. That's a heck of a day.
So
it was
so much fun. I didn't get sore until about dinner time. And then I started slowly regretting all of the cantering through the cacti. And then Sunday morning, I booked a 90-minute massage because I could not move.
Oh, my God. You're so bougie.
She's definitely bougie.
I am totally bougie.
Do you know what, too? There's a hunt in Montana. We had him on the show, one of the shows.
Oh, no way.
We had him on the fox hunting show when we used to do that. I just looked it up. It's Big Sky Hounds, and they're out I don't know. But yeah, so there is one in Montana.
Was it expensive, guys. Ash, or
no,
how's that work?
I thought it was super affordable, considering like literally they provided me the horse, the tack, everything. I just showed up with my helmet and britches. So it was, as a non-member, I paid $85 for the hunt, which included all the food, all the drinks, and there was so much food. Somebody made buffalo bourguignon, like the French dish out of buffalo. Like it was crazy. And then to rent from the livery for the day was $150. So altogether, that's, I don't really math well. I don't know, 200 something.
$235. Yeah, got you. That sounds like a great deal.
That's what I thought, you know, for something I've been wanting to try my entire life.
And you don't have to feed and clean up after the horse. It's perfect.
I mean, you know me. I showed up and I was like, can I please groom and tack him? Because I'd like to get my hands on him and we can get to know each other. You know, I'm not that bougie where I need
I'm calling BS. I think you just rolled up and you stuck your hand out and you said, reins, James. And they hand you the reins. You get a leg up on this horse and then you ride it for like 9 hours. You get off and you very gingerly hand the reins back to James. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what happened. James, more champagne, please.
You know what's funny is I can see that whole scenario in my mind, actually.
Oh, yeah, I know. Me too. That's why I said it.
You have a bit of a reputation here, Ashley.
You know, I've had worse reputations, honestly. It's fine.
I'm so glad you got to do this. You know, obviously it was such so a big cool. part of our lives with Jennifer and many Fox right. Hunts. So
I almost called Jennifer on the drive up because I started getting nervous, you know, because like, oh my God, I am alone. I don't know any of these people. I don't know any of the things. And I was just leaned into it. You know, I'm like, what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
You know, in those situations, it's actually better to kind of like, in my head, to go in claiming your ignorance. You know, it's the yes. people that come in acting like they know what's going on, but they really don't. So I think you handled it probably really well. It's just to go in and be like, y'all, where are the dogs?
You know? And I found another mom and she was like, this is my first time riding in 5 years. And she ran in group and field two with me. And so she was my buddy. I was like, okay, you know everything here. I'm just going to be a tick to you. Then she busts out a flask. And I'm like, oh, I knew we were friends. I knew we were
Did
friends.
She get a massage the next day too?
She did not, as far uh-huh. as I know.
Okay. That's awesome. Like, that's cheaper than the entry now for a 3-day event, not including right. stabling and travel and all that. So that's awesome that you did that. And, how fun. And like Glenn said, maybe you can do it when you relocate to Montana.
Yes, I looked and it's 2.5 hours from Great Falls. So I think I'm going to have to.
That's now. A day trip. You're good to go. And, you know, the riding up there will be a little different. It'll be a little greener, probably.
So, yeah.
Or white.
Yeah.
Or yeah, or white. They hunt snow leopards in Montana.
Ashley, I'm so excited for you. I'm glad you got to do that.
Thanks, guys. I'm so excited to share with you. And you know what, listeners, if there's something you want to do, go do it. Buy the horse. We're all marching towards death.
Amen, sister.
Perfect.
Amen.
I will put a link to actually the hunt that you went to if anybody's in the – I know we have listeners in the Santa Fe area. If they want to go check it out, I'll put the link to the hunt there.
Thank you.
See you, Ashley.
Bye. Bye.
Whether you're hauling to a show, heading to a clinic, or just clocking highway miles, fuel costs add up fast. U.S. Rider diesel savings, powered by open roads, can save you up to 50 cents per gallon at thousands of gas stations across the country. High mileage drivers could save more than $700 a year. It's free to join, and as a gift from U.S. Rider, you'll get free priority processing when you sign up. Head to myopenroads.com/USRider to start saving today.
So is the new horse getting here today? What?
By the way,
let me clarify. With people that didn't hear Friday's show, you need to go back and listen to Friday's show because we hear all the whole story about the new horse. So,
and I started thinking about that. How you were like, I'm glad you finally got a horse. So you stop taking days off work because that's what I'm doing. But I want to revisit that because I want to, I've got a bone to pick with you. So here's the thing. I said I would never buy a horse sight unseen again. And you were like, obviously, don't ever buy a horse sight unseen. You're an idiot.
You've been stewing on this one.
I'm flying around the country shopping for horses because obviously I can't be trusted to buy a horse sight unseen. And now you're like, oh, stop flying around to look at horses because obviously you're going to miss too much work. I'm like, what do you want? Do you want me here? Or do you want me to buy a horse sight unseen? I don't understand.
And for new listeners, Jamie's been stewing on that since Friday.
You know what? It's like one of those things where we hung up the phone and I was like, wait a second. Hold on.
Laugh right now. Don't make me laugh.
It's true. I'm like, I got off the phone with you and I was like, oh, I need to call him back because first of all, he's pissed at me for buying horses without going to look at him. And now I'm looking at him and he's pissed at me for looking at him. Sorry. Let me tell you how my little sweet baby angel is doing. I don't know because he's not here yet. Now, I have texted the person that has him and I'm like, how is Jubiloso? And he said, you know, fine. You know, whatever. Yeah, I'm not getting a whole lot back. A whole lot of love back from the guy who barely speaks English. You've paid for
this horse at this point, right?
I have paid for this horse. He is insured. He is, all the paperwork is done. Everything is ready.
And he was supposed to. I'm worried about.
Yeah, no. Again, the person, the broker that I went through, remember, I have an agent. He handles all of it. And yeah. Just this guy on a website that I found probably on Craigslist. I'm sure it's fine. but no, he's like, the shipping company I've used, everything is fine. They're great. This guy's really good. They sell a lot of horses at this place. So I feel like it's going to be okay. But he was supposed to ship out today, but apparently they're getting a deluge of rain in Bakersfield. Oh. So they've decided to pick him up tomorrow.
We know what happens in California when it rains and nobody can go anywhere.
Everything's fine. It's fine, I'm sure. And there's no mountains around there at all. So I'm sure it'll be fine. So they're picking him up tomorrow, and I think it's like at least a 23-hour drive. So he will. And by the way, I saw on our Facebook page for Horses in the Morning that people were talking about that, like, a ton of people live right around Bakersfield. I wish I would have known you guys live near Bakersfield.
I saw that two auditors, a bunch of auditors. I didn't know that either.
I would have just sent y'all out to go see the horses, so Glenn wouldn't be mad at me for leaving for work.
You know, but what, yeah, though? So we have a saying, when one of us is off, we usually come back with a good story. So
you know what? I'm tired of good stories. I just want to get my little, apparently he's not a buckskin. He's a dunskin. I'm going to get my dunskin pony here and I'm going to play with him and I'm never going to have any stories because he's going to be a perfect little angel. By the way, he is getting castrated on Thursday.
Okay, let me write that whole statement down in the Book of Jamie.
Yeah. Oh, also, I did have somebody ask me, why don't you collect him before you castrate him? And I was like, interesting idea. And so I wanted to, I reached out to my friend Larissa, who had an Andalusian breeding stallion. And I said, is it crazy if I collect him before I castrate him? And then I went online and I saw that his dad stands in California. And I'm like, okay, well, obviously. And so she said, I mean, you could ... There are two ways to do it. Either chemically induced ejaculation, which only works 20% of the time, or you have to train him to jump a dummy for collection. And that's usually a few weeks and a couple $1,000s. And then you have to collect enough for frozen processing. And most places want to do 5 to 10 collections for that. And so mainly,
no, it's a minimum $10,000 project.
Minimum $8,000. And I was like, you know what? His dad stands in California. If I ever want another baby, I'll just breed to him. It'll be fine.
$8,000. Oh my God.
Yeah. She said it's quite the process. So
I just thought you'd go out there with a bucket. That's what I thought. But
come here for a second.
It's not like cows.
I actually don't want to know anymore, actually. All
right, I'm on drugs, everybody. Just we better go to our next recording because I'm going to get in trouble. Next up is Jessica. I met her at WESA. She is with a company called Tail Cinch, and they have three products I have not seen before, brand new to the market. It's only about 5 minutes, but I thought you guys would enjoy this. And one of those products we're getting for Scooter. So here's Jessica with Tail Cinch. Jessica, I am always so excited to find new products that I have never seen before, which is hard because I've seen a lot of products. But you today had showed me three of them that I haven't seen before. So Tail Cinch, tell us what the company does.
Yeah, so I make products that help reduce the use of wasteful electrical tape and vet wraps. So think for tails and also for polo wraps. I have a bunch of different styles that work for both kinds. So the tail ties They're made from elastic Velcro with a silicone grip strip inside to keep it from falling, and then a little faux leather on the outside.
So makes when you it fold stylish. The tail up, then you just wrap this around where you'd normally use the vet wrap or electrical tape or whatever. And it just keeps... Why isn't it... It seems like somebody would have invented this a long time ago.
You would have think, but I think people just go to what they're used to and they see someone else doing it and they just keep doing it and they never, you know, they're so busy doing what they're doing. And, you know, electrical tape and vet wrap, it works. It's just not sustainable. You know, you have to go through a lot of it, especially if you have a whole string of horses. So
these little wraps are Velcro. And so longevity, have they been lasting a long time?
Yeah, I have some customers. I've been around for 4 years. My originals didn't even have the silicone grips. I have some customers that still have their originals that never even upgraded to the silicone ones. So yeah, they last probably too long, so I don't sell enough of them because of that. They're not coming back.
Do they come in colors or?
Yes, yeah. I have 21 colors.
Oh wow, okay. Yeah. So you can match whatever.
Yep. Match every gear.
And what do they retail for?
So they retail for $20 for a set of three.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I'm most excited about, so I have a Hackney pony that has horrible skin issues this year, multiple veterinarians still trying to figure it out, but one of the things he does is rubs the top of his tail off, and you have something now for that.
Yes, so I'm really excited about this new product. It's called the Rump Rubber Tail Guard, and it's made from 7mm neoprene, and it stays in place on the tail without having to strap it directly to the tailbone itself, which there are neoprene tail guards already, but they have Velcro that you need to strap onto the tailbone, which you have to make them super tight in order for them to stay in place. But if you make them super tight, you risk cutting off circulation to the tailbone. So my guard actually braids into the tail at the bottom to keep it in place while sitting loosely on the tailbone itself. So
this is a brilliant design. Again, it's one of those, you know, why didn't anybody ever do this before? It is absolutely brilliant. I'm going to be getting one of these because our pony still, you know, has that problem. And it's not fun for the pony. It's not fun for us, right?
Yep.
Horses that do that. And what's been the reaction to people trying this one out?
I have a lot of people who absolutely love it. They've been looking for something to solve this problem for a while. I think, you know, the Velcro ones, people, the main problem is that they don't put them on tight enough and they go flying off within a few minutes, it's already on the ground. So this one stays in place. I have people that have been putting their horses out in pasture for a week at a time, and it's still in place when they're done. I also have a detachable tail bag that attaches to the bottom. So if you have like a tail chewer or something like that, it will keep that tail in place and help actually grow the tail.
Completely cover the whole tail from the top of the tailbone all the way down.
Yep. And you also have the option to not cover the tail itself if you want. And then if you do use the tail bag, I have a place to attach baling twine, or we sell these swishers also, so that the horse can still swat at flies while they're
brilliant.
Yeah. So
okay, you really thought about this. Good job.
Yes, thanks.
What do these retail for?
These are at $45 right now.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
And then you have something that is horse husband approved, I will say. And because I have wrapped legs before, okay? The problem is I'm not very good at it, and they always became unwrapped. But you solved that problem, too.
Yes. So I have two different styles, which I call the polo cinches. So they're polo wrap guards that help keep the wraps in place. They are also good to use if the Velcro is starting to wear out on old wraps, so you can extend the life of your polo wraps and not have to buy new ones. So I have them in a bunch of different colors. I have two styles, one with a D-ring that just goes on super quick, and then another one that actually folds into the Velcro itself and then wraps around the whole guard. So whatever, I have people that like each style. So
and again, you could use tape for that or whatever, but this is reusable, and when you're traveling especially, this is perfect.
Exactly. Yeah. So
Well done. Good job, girl.
Thank you.
Jessica, where can they find your products?
Tailcinch.com.
Tailcinch.com. They can buy direct, right?
Yep.
Or
and I will have it in retail stores. I have right now three retail stores, brick and mortar, that accounts with them. But
this weekend, it'll be a lot more.
Correct.
Thanks, Jessica. So as we said at the beginning of the show, this is Robbie Roberts. He is the guy in charge of building the World Equestrian Center, both of them, the one in Ohio and the one here in Ocala. And they reached out to us in 2019 to make a very big announcement. And I got Piper from the Plaidcast, who was on our network at that point, to join me because she knew a lot about the politics of what was going on in the jumper world, and more than Jamie and I knew for sure. So here is that interview. We just thought you'd like to take a listen down memory lane on this one. We have an interview that we that Piper from the Plaidcast and I recorded just about 2 hours ago, early this morning. It's a very special announcement. We're breaking it here on the show. The people who are building the World Equestrian Center here on Ocala contacted us late last week and said, we have an announcement. We want to get the man himself, Robbie Roberts, who is of the Roberts family, who is building this complex and built the one in Ohio. And he wanted to come on this morning himself and make an announcement and talk about the World Equestrian Center. Now, this, Jamie, is literally about 3 or 4 miles from our house here and the studios here in Ocala. We pass it all the time. It's to give people who don't know before we do the interview, it's 3,000 acres. He bought 3,000 acres. That is twice the size of the Kentucky Horse Park, to give you an idea of size. It runs between the two of the highways, 4-lane highways that go out of Ocala here, right off of Route 75. So main highway in, and it's huge. He is building a complex that is going to have a huge stadium. Okay. So it is going to be an enormous stadium with a hotel at the end. And I posted a video. They just released a video this morning that you can see on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page. It's a CGI video of what it's going to look like. You watched it. Pretty impressive. I don't think there's any facility like that in the United States anywhere.
And the way the video actually looks is looks like it's already done.
I know. It's very amazing. Good. It apparently spent a lot of money having that video made. It does not look like that now. It looks like a million bulldozers moving dirt and building buildings. There are so many bulldozers and equipment over there. But you're going to have an open-air stadium with seating for 10,000 with the hotel, a 300-room hotel at the end. So the rooms of the hotel will overlook the outdoor stadium. There's going to be 17 outdoor arenas. He is building 2,000 stalls that are going to be heated and air-conditioned with walkways between them to the indoor arenas, which there are three of. So there's going to be 140,000 square foot, main arena, and they're going to have jumbotrons, VIP seating, restaurants, climate-controlled judging booths. I mean, he is building this knowing he's building it in Florida, but he wants to have shows all year round. So it is a huge place, and it is going to be a one-of-a-kind facility for sure in the world. There'll be nothing like this in the world. They're putting in 300, and you'll hear in a little bit in the interview we talk about this, but I want you to know what it is. They're building it 300, I think it's 300 three-plus acre little farms, like little farms you can buy, and also condos, 835 condos, and they're going to put in 500,000 foot of commercial usage space, which includes stores, and you basically, from what I heard just a little bit ago, they're putting in a movie theater. So you're never going to have to leave here once you go in. You'll have everything you need.
He's building a little equestrian world.
It is. And you're going to...
It's like those video games where you like grow your own crops, like have your own farm. But it's like...
And that's what he's doing, is just saying, I want this in my video game. And, you know, because he has the money and the resources, it happens. So
did he ride...
He did, yes. His whole family was into horses, and his daughter rides hunter jumpers, and that's why this is all happening.
Oh, what a lucky girl.
So here we go. Let's take a listen to the interview that we did with Robbie Roberts. And this is Piper from the Plaidcast who joined me. Well, we have Robbie on here with us now, and we're talking about a big announcement coming for the World Equestrian Center. And Robbie, good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
So a big announcement. We're all waiting. What's going on?
Well, we plan on opening the North World Equestrian Center January 21. So we're excited to finally get a firm date and start planning around it.
I live not too far from there, about 3 miles, drive by it all the time, and I have never seen so much construction equipment in one place in my life.
Well, my father and mother, they live it every day with probably 200 to 300 other people, and it seems like more get added every time that we need to add to it. So we're excited to have the team and put our heart and soul into it. And I guess we love what we're doing, so it's not work; it's exciting and fun to us.
So Robbie, as a hunter jumper competitor, I think the biggest thing I've heard is, besides all the excitement and people can't wait for it to open, I think 2021, they literally can't wait to show up. The biggest question I get is what's going to happen about dates and U.S. Equestrian Federation mileage rule and rated shows, and how's all that going to work?
You know, I go back to the date once, and I guess we'll go to that next. I think the reason the date got pushed back too was because we want it to be perfect when we open it. We don't want any construction at all. So the showgrounds will be finished probably about, you know, maybe 6 months to 8 months before that, maybe even a little bit sooner. But the hotel that's built right in the middle of the showgrounds is going to not be done until like October, a year from this October. So, and then we want to give ourselves some months to get our staff trained and things like that. But as far as dates, we've talked to USEF a bunch and, you know, many other organizations about it, because it's going to be a multi-use facility. And I think the dates will come. I think we'll get what you know, we're supposed to have and what people want. But if not, I think, you know, it is what it is. We'll have horse shows and we're going to have people come. But I don't worry about that. I don't lose sleep over that, because I think you build it and they will come, and I think USEF will support it. So it's, you know, we've had plenty of meetings with USEF to talk about it, and I think that we have a good plan, but there's nothing that's concrete. So I think we have to get it built and then, you know, see what happens at that point.
One of the things, too, is this is not just English, right? You're going to be doing all kinds of shows, English, Western, breed, all of that.
Yeah, we want to be the equestrian facility for the world. So it's, you know, much more than, you know, hunter jumpers. And, you know, hopefully we have some huge FEI and, you know, hunter shows there, but in jumper shows. But if, you know, that never happens, you know, we would have, you know, many, many other breeds. But, you know, my father and mother's always taught me that, you know, when you build something, you have to get it built. And, you know, my father says a lot, you have to let it speak to you. So I think when the place is built, it will plan its future. But right now we can't do anything with a bunch of dirt and, you know, dust flying in the air. So, you know, we've taken a leap of faith to, you know, just, you know, do what we've done. And when it's finished, I think it will find its own, and it'll be what it's supposed to be at that date.
So we've seen the video, and it's up on theplaidhorse.com if anyone hasn't viewed it yet. What are you most excited about that this facility has? There's so many amenities that we don't normally see at horse shows. There's so much seating. It looks absolutely beautiful. What are you most excited to add to the equestrian community?
I think the biggest thing we can add is not infrastructure and not seats and stalls. You know, we got, you know, over 2,000, you know, heated and air conditioned stalls, and I think we seat 20,000, or, you know, some, that number might be a little off, but somewhere around there. But through all the venues and, you know, that through the whole place. But I think having a place that everybody feels comfortable, not that there's not places like that now, but our biggest, you know, goal in, you know, the North is to have everybody feel equal, whether it's your first horse show and you've never been there and, you know, you don't know what to expect, or you've done it your whole life and you've achieved, you know, amazing things. Our goal is to make it so when you pull the gate through the front gates that, you know, you feel comfortable and you feel like that, like you've made, you know, new friends instantly, and that you feel comfortable when you pull in the gate. So I think the feeling is the most that we can offer, you know, to every competitor. And I think, you know, if we can do that, we've succeeded. But if we build in, you know, the biggest place in the country and we have the wrong feeling, I think we failed. So I think that's what we have to really be careful about, is the is what we create, not just, you know, the feeling, not just bricks and mortar.
Piper, it's interesting. Piper and I had a conversation before you came on, and she's been to your Ohio facility, and that's one of the things you said, Piper, is that feeling. You got that feeling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I have ponies, and, you know, it's an A-rated division, but it feels marginalized at some horse shows, or you kind of feel like you're stuck out back in some places, and that's something I love about going to Ohio, is that, you know, you feel important. You feel part of the horse show. You feel essential. And I love that feeling.
Well, you know, if we do the short stirrup and, you know, some of the opportunity classes as grand as we do FEI, that may be the next FEI riders, or the, you know, parents that support that person so they can become that. But if you, you know, if you water that down to the degree that people don't get excited about it, you may lose out from, you know, some future riders. And I don't think we have a problem with people coming into the sport. I think we have a problem with people, you know, leaving the sport. And in Wilmington, we have a lot of people that come to lease a horse for the weekend or whatever, which we have a website that's managed with about 300 horses on it. And people come and lease a horse for, you know, a week or 2 weeks or whatever. We have about a 50% you know, yearly lease rate or purchase from that website. It's not ours. It's managed from an outside person. But I've heard so many times people come in and got out of the business. When they come, you know, to a new look at things, they, you know, repurchase their, you know, show equipment because they went as far as even to donate it or whatever, their, you know, sell their saddles. Well, they've you know, created themselves and, you know, they're having fun again. So, yeah, I don't think we're doing things that much different, but I think we're doing it different enough to have a different feeling and make everybody feel like it's their place. I always tell everybody at Wilmington, it's their place, not mine, because when no one's there, it's you hear a lot of creaky noises and it's really eerie. But when you load it up with people and horses, get the music going in the rings and, you know, get the horses walking around, it's a whole different feeling. So it's actually everybody's place. It's not one person's place. I think if we keep that feeling up, you know, going, I think we're going to, you know, have, you know, some good things for the future of the sport. But we've had to make sure the bigger facility in Ocala feels like a smaller facility in Wilmington. If we don't do that, then I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, speaking of that facility in Ocala, it's obviously, is it the only one in the country that's going to have a hotel at the end of the main arena?
We don't really look at other facilities. You know, I don't know of any. I go to work and I go home and I have a daughter and a wife and, you know, it seems like you blink and that goes by so quick. Our daughter's 15 now. So, and it seems like, you know, yesterday she was 7 or 8, you know, 6 showing ponies. So, you know, we don't focus on anybody else. We've had some calls from some of our major competitors and to be honest with you, I feel like that we just need to focus on what we're doing and, you know, not meet with other people and try to, you know, mix up our dream different than what it is. We need to focus on what we're doing and just, you know, do our best to do that and, you know, get the brains along the way that's created the sport to this point, which we've done that. We've got a lot of advice from a lot of amazing, intelligent people, but we've taken that and not let it, you know, change our dream. We just, you know, made sure that we're going the right direction.
Well, I have a question that has been starting to come up now as people are interested. You're going to have a bunch of different properties and lots and condos and things available there. Is there any word on when people will be able to start taking a look at where they'll be able to live at the property?
Well, we have a ton of stuff for sale today from spec homes in Golden Ocala. I think we're a little different too, because with 2,000 12x14 stalls, you can come and horse show and stay in the hotel, or you can buy within Golden Ocala and, you know, stall there as long as you want, where a lot of the horse shows are sold out. So you have to, like at Wellington, you have to have a farm stalls or whatever, because horse show stalls are usually sold out. But you can pull in and show for 2 days or 2 weeks, and we should be able to accommodate you with a number of stalls. And they're, you know, they're not, you know, not the tent stalls are bad, but they're not tent stalls. They're all 12x14. You know, permanent, you know, veterinarian grade stalls. So I think that you could show up today and buy an amazing house or condo, which I think we have 40 condos, which is brand new that just came out of the ground not too long ago. And spec houses being built every day. But as far as the equestrian estates, I think you'd be able to purchase one of them. I think there's 300 total. And you'd be able to purchase one of those, which within the next, you know, probably 6 months, we're still plotting. So you, if somebody fell in love with something, you might be able to do a reservation. So you know, we're talking to people each day as it comes, and we're doing sales every day. Our, you know, the property around Ocala has kind of went up, you know, substantially, and within the gates, our prices are what they are, but we've had a lot of sales within the gates.
And one of the other questions that's starting to come out, because there were some postings and it's gotten a bunch of our listeners excited about jobs that are going to be available. And it looks like you're starting to look for resumes for hiring for a ton of positions.
We use an outside company that does the day-to-day for all the hospitality parts of it, Columbus Hospitality. And because I think everybody's good at certain things and, you know, that's what they're really good at. And we've used them in Wilmington for a number of years, probably 10, 15 years. So they're starting to staff up as far as the hospitality parts part of it. And then we plan on using some of our team in Wilmington that will transfer over because we, you know, we want the same feeling. We don't want to start from scratch. So we're building a team that could do both as far as the horse show part. And then we also, are starting to look at, having Columbus Hospitality do the, the hospitality part of it, which we plan to be a different type of horse show. I think there's 11, 12 restaurants on site, not counting the clubhouse and all that. So, but all the restaurants should be tied together. You should be able to order food from, ahead, be able to pick it up. Some of them will have drive-thrus. And then we plan on having a point-of-pay system, so you should be able to check out and be able to do everything from, like, a wristband. So when you enter the property, you can pay cash, credit, or do a wristband, even entries. So when you, even at the end of the day, end of the weekend, you can track everything, all your expenditures, just through, your wristband account. And even the horse show videos and things like that, if you want to do the wristband when you go in there, the cameras will automatically follow you. Then you can purchase it. It'll alert you when it's ready, and you can purchase all the pictures or all the rides at nighttime. So it should be more automated, which takes a little more time, but that's what we're starting to put together now.
Yeah, well, that sounds amazing.
To Piper, we were joking it would be like Disney World for horse people, and with the wristbands, it truly will be like Disney World for the horse people.
Absolutely. Well, that's our goal, and we did steal that from Disney. The idea.
I hope you have to pay less for it. They paid like $1 billion to get that one done. So,
well, it's just a band with a like a card in it that ties to you. So when you go to the restaurant, it just ties you to it's just like having your own credit card that it ties to you. So if you put your credit card on account, and then that number on that band on any reader would just say this is this farm or this person.
That's terrific.
So it's like anything else. I think the technology gets cheaper as you go. So it's a pretty, not sophisticated technology, but we'll get there, and hopefully to make things a little simpler and a little easier to manage.
So the World Equestrian Center is launching a brand new website today, www.wec.net. You can also check out www.showcaseocala.com/World Equestrian Center, where you can find a lot about properties and different updates as to what is going on site, including the 140,000 square foot arena that will host equestrian horse shows in front of the hotel.
And one other thing we didn't talk about, and I came from the retail world on the horse side, owned a store for many years and worked for many big companies. You're going to have a lot of shopping, right, Robbie? If I don't ask that, people will be mad. So,
yeah, there's a ton of shopping and throughout the facility, and some of it is equipped to do from automobiles to luxury cars to high end clothing and purses, and it's equipped. So we're going after some of the most exclusive retailers and automakers in the country, and we'll see what happens. And hopefully the day we open, it'll be an amazing place to come and visit.
Sounds great. WEC.net. I'm going to keep watching it every day and hoping that 2021 comes quicker. Thanks, Robbie.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Well, Jamie, we have a full week of shows here on Horses in the Morning. We have Quarter Horse tomorrow, and we have Equine Affair on Thursday. Jamie will be back with some weird... You must have so many weird news stories stacked up by now.
I got a lot, but seriously, I could always use more.
Okay.
And so if you find a weird news story, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, because, there's weird stuff happening everywhere. I want to hear about all of it.
All right, cool. And then Equine Affair will be here. Allison will be here on Thursday, and some really bad ads on Friday. And we announced the new prizes on Friday. So we'll have prizes for this month. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com.
And I have a little twist that I'm going to include on Friday, because I've been horse shopping for so long that I collected I have a compilation of ridiculously priced horses.
Okay. That's our new segment.
How expensive can it be? So I'm going to smatter those in. How stupid do people think we are?
You know what? We grew up in Pennsylvania, and Jennifer and I, and we went to the Pennsylvania National Horse Show many, many, many times. That was our yearly event. Happened in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania in the fall, and there were so many different things there, from horse pulling to jumper shows to just everything horse was there. And the Pennsylvania Horse Show is held at the Farm Show Building, which is enormous. So we went there every year. Well, they also raise money for... for grants to give out to all kinds of nonprofits, including rescues and therapeutic riding centers and veterinary care and things like that. This year, they had a record-breaking amount. They raised $125,000 in grant funding. Last year was $100,000, so they raised $25,000 more than last year, and it's going to be their largest annual total. So they are giving it to a whole bunch of different organizations, two of which have been on our show. Day's End Farm Horse Rescue has been on our show, and they received a grant. Also, Right Foot Ranch, I don't know if you were on that day, that was Harley. They have a horse named Harley, who's pretty popular. And Harley won the Therapy Horse of the Year, and they were on to talk about that. So we've had two of their recipients for this year's grant money, and congratulations to all of them. We all know that rescues can certainly use it this year. And this year is going to, in 2026, is going to be the 80th anniversary of the Pennsylvania National Horse Show, from October 8th through the 18th. That's when I'd go back to Pennsylvania again for. That's a fun show. It's all indoors. It doesn't matter the weather. It's just a fun show. So congratulations to everybody receiving their grant money. We hope to be feeling better by Wednesday. Thank you for putting up with us today.
My stuffy nose and you're having to go on mute. Everything's fine. It's fine. Spayed or yelled, everybody.